Welcome to America's Dining and Travel Guide with your host, Pierre Wolf. Heard live for 2 hours every week. You're always invited to join the conversation. Call Pierre live at 1-866-606-TALK. That's 1-866-606-8255. And now, here's your host, Pierre Wolf.
Happy Easter to you all. Joyeux Pâques, as we say in French. Fröhlichen Ostern. And that is a wonderful, you know, I meant to say that it is great to celebrate a great holiday like Easter. As usual, I'm very pleased to have my lovely wife for some years now, Jean Wolf, joining me. How are you feeling today, Jean?
Just great. Thanks, Pierre. It's always good to be here, and happy Easter to everybody.
You got it. When you were a child, did you play with eggs and Easter eggs? And what was it like at Easter time, Jean?
I'm sorry. I'm not understanding you. I have to say it again.
I said, what was it like during your childhood, early days, to celebrate Easter?
Well, I really don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not one of those people that's a churchgoer. And, I go about maybe six times a year. And I'm glad that I make it six times a year. So we're having a lovely day in Denver, Colorado. The sky is blue. The sun is out. And the snow, which we had just on Wednesday, we had a blizzard. We had more than 15 inches in the city, and the people around the countryside, north and south and east and west of us, some of the mountains had more than 2 or 3 feet of snow. That's a lot of snow. So we're glad to be out. We're glad to be out, and that is melting.
You got it right, Jean. Now let's talk about... You remember when I met you, we went on our honeymoon some years ago, let's not talk about how many, to on a 30-day trip. Any memories of that at all?
Well, I sure do. I was teaching school at the time, and it was actually Easter vacation, just like right now. So we went to Europe in really a very bad time of year. It was chilly there. It was wear all your clothes and then some. It was marvelous. Paris was great, cold, breezy. I loved it all. I was from a small town, 30,000 people in Connecticut, and I had never seen anything like this in my life. I saw wonderful things that you only see in the movies or you see pictures of them in books, and there I was. I was just, I think my mouth hung open the entire time that we were there. I stumbled down gutters, you know, and up because I was so busy looking. I wasn't paying attention as to where I was walking. It was absolutely, Pierre started me on a adventure that has been going on for quite a number of years now, and we have traveled all over the world. We've been we didn't make it to Antarctica, so I can't quite say that. But we've been to Greenland.
You've done extremely well, Jean. Don't you think the joy of life should include traveling? And so many people just simply don't take advantage of the opportunity to meet different cultures, different religions, beautiful geography of the world. It's just something that everyone should try. And of course, it includes North America, our beautiful country. And what is memorable of some of the trips we took here, or you took?
Let me tell you about a great one that we went. Now, we're in Denver, Colorado, so it isn't very far for us to drive from Colorado going west to Utah. Utah has got some of the most magnificent national monuments and parks that I've ever seen in my life. It is like you are not in on our planet. You're, I don't know, somewhere on the moon, somewhere out of this planet, because you've never seen things like this in your life. First of all, there's no grass and there's no trees. There's Arches National Park, which is absolutely, and the wind over and the water over the centuries, many, many centuries, have made these fantastic places to look at. One of them is called Arches, and there are many arches in this location that are made out of actually stone, huge arches that you look like maybe you're not as big as a pin on this. If you take a picture of the arch and somebody's standing on the arch or under the arch, you're looking like a pin in this great big magnificent arch. And then another place is Zion National Park. Same idea, but this time there are trees, lots of canyons, and you stand at the top and you look at this and you're just amazed. Bryce National Park is another one. Utah is really blessed with all kinds of things, besides having the Great Salt Lake, which is just amazing. You can swim in there in the summer, and you can't sink because there's so much salt in the water, it doesn't allow a body to sink. So you're in it, and you're up to about your waist, and that's the way it is. It's just incredible to have this happen and to see all of these things. And then when you're there, you have to go to see Salt Lake City, which is a lovely, fairly modern city, and they have the Norman temple there. The Mormon have made this most gorgeous temple, probably made in the mid-1800s, and however, you can't go in. Only Mormons can go in. But it's such a beautiful, it's like kind of like looking at maybe one of these gorgeous state capitals that are around all over in the United States to see the state capital of different states are wonderful. So
that's not,
Utah
not
is a place that is not too hard to get to if you live somewhere in this location. It's easy. And while you're there, you have to go and see the our Grand Canyon. It is spectacular. And actually, the first time I went, it was on an Easter vacation, and I drove south from Denver, Colorado, to Arizona, and you just can't believe it. It's cold there, but you can also take a donkey down into the canyon. That's really scary because there are no rails, but the donkey is very sure-footed, and you can walk too, but I mean, not me. I would take the donkey. Just incredible sights. You just can't believe that you're in the United States with all of these places. Well, anyway,
I enjoyed it.
Pierre, back to you.
Gene, I enjoyed San Francisco, Seattle, New York, Chicago, and many of the wonderful places that we have visited and had a chance to stay. And now I want to talk about a company called Right Travel. Their site is righttravel.info. They offer Dubai tours, culture, and new civilization. That's a place I did not visit as yet. Experience Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and other cities on the United Arab Emirates with Right Travel private car and English-speaking guide who will make sure to provide all the logistics and the detailed programs to get the most out of your vacation. Visit Dubai and do it only with www, to look it up, righttravel.info. You're listening to the Easter production and program of America's Dining and Travel Guide with none other than my lovely wife, Jean, and I'm Pierre Wolf, host of the show for the last 28 years. It's been a long time, hasn't it, Jean?
It certainly has. But I want to talk to about Alaska, which is a wonderful place to go, and it's a great place also to take your family.
You got to hold that thought for just a few moments, because we're nearing a break, Jean, and we'll be back with more travel. Alaska is next with Jean Wolf, yours truly, her husband, Pierre Wolf, host of America's Dining and Travel Guide, heard only here on Biz Talk Radio. Happy Easter.
Get your tickets on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your tickets on Route 66.
You're listening to the Easter Day, the Easter Holiday Edition of America's Dining and Travel Guide with my special guest, my lovely wife for some years now, Jean Wolf. And Jean was going to be... Hi. Jean, you were going to give a little side trip to Alaska, the details thereof, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of my favorite places to visit, and I'm afraid that we've been there many, many, many times, most often on cruise ships. But let me tell you about why you should do this. First of all, you only have to pack and unpack once, as opposed to traveling in Europe or something where you have to pack and unpack almost every single day or every second day. This is great because you can get a cruise ship, you can get a cruise line. We're particularly fond of Holland America, but there's nothing wrong with Royal Caribbean. There's many, many cruise ships that go there. And actually, there are more people on the cruise ships that live in the cities of Alaska. For instance, let me tell you, the capital of Alaska is Fairbanks. And in Fairbanks... You're right. Absolutely. I'm sorry. Fairbanks is where the University of Alaska is in Fairbanks. But in Fairbanks, there's only 31,000 people. You can actually walk around downtown Fairbanks just easily. In Sitka, which is a Russian city... Oh, and I have to tell you about that, too. There's only 8,000 people living in Sitka. So you can walk around the city and see everything. It's just amazing. But anyway, the United States bought Alaska. Actually, they were thinking from Russia, and all of this was happening during our Civil War. But because the United States was a little busy during the Civil War, they weren't able to buy it until 1867. And actually, they bought it on my father's birthday, October the 18th, 1867, which I think is just amazing. How can I forget that? October the 18th, and they actually bought it. They bought it for $7.2 million. And they were, at the time, the man who bought it was the Secretary of State, and his name was Seward. S-E-W-A-R-D, and they called it Seward's Folly for a long, long time. As you see, as of the census in 2010, which was just 6 years ago, there's not a lot of people living in Alaska. It's one of the fourth smallest populations for a state, and actually the state is mammoth. There are 570,000 square miles in Alaska, which is, I have no idea how big that is, but it is one of the biggest states. I think Texas is bigger, but it's pretty close. Just amazing. But I want to tell them about Juneau. Juneau, the first time we were in Juneau was in 1991. It was right after the census in 1991. And I went into one of the stores there, and they told me, just for fun, to go out and watch the brand new first traffic light put up in the city of Juneau.
Yeah, I remember that.
1991. So I went outside, I stood around, and there are the cars. They're used to a four-way stop sign. So the cars would come up to the traffic light, stop for what they remembered as being a stop sign, and go. And it didn't matter whether the light was red or green. Everybody came to the stop sign and stopped and went right on. That's really pretty funny, because at the capital city of Alaska, and in 1991, it wasn't that long ago.
And by the way, you can
remember it,
Gene. You cannot reach Juneau except by air or by boat. No road. You cannot drive there. But I like to.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. I like to remind people that you and I have enjoyed Hong Kong, Kowloon hotels, the Shangri-La, wonderful place, the All Duck restaurant, the houseboats where people live in Hong Kong, and the Cog Railway up the mountain down to the
wonderful
beach where they shot some American movies. I, and you did to a lesser degree, visited Vietnam, Halong Bay, that wonderful resort town, Hanoi, the capital, and now Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City, they call it, where I actually went to the Omni Hotel to take cooking lessons in Vietnamese cuisine. Can you believe that? Saigon, the Rex Hotel, Cu Chi Tunnels, from which the Vietnamese at the time were bombarding and shooting at Saigon. Unbelievable sights. For those of you who are staying home, you're missing out. Our trip to Annecy, what do you recall about Annecy, France, near the wonderful mountain range at Courchevel and the French Alps and that wonderful lake and our excursions? What's on your mind? We took the entire family. Jean?
Well, the amazing thing about Annecy in France was that we took our whole family. We rented a house right on Annecy Lake, and we flew into Paris, and I insisted that everybody stay 2 days in Paris, because the very most important thing in my mind is to see Paris from a boat on the Seine, and it's called the, what's the name of the boat here?
Bateau Mouche.
That's the name.
And we took our grandchildren, all our family, our grandchildren and children, all went along.
Absolutely, I think there were 11 of us. It was the entire family, our two children and the grandchildren, and spouses of our daughter and son was just. Just amazing. We had this huge, I think it was basically a barn, but it was converted into living quarters. But to get to the second floor was a huge staircase. I think there was something like 20 steps up to the second level of this living quarters that we were in. It was really.
You know, every good thing, Dean, comes to an end, and so does the first portion of my show. It's our show today, Jean Wolfe, my lovely wife, and myself, host of America's Dining and Travel Guide. I'm Pierre, wishing you happy Easter holiday, and we will celebrate with our family later on with a great dinner. And I hope you're having a wonderful time. You, the audience of Biz Talk Radio, that brings you the show one more time, America's Dining and Travel Guide. Much more to come. Don't go away. Wishing you happy Easter. I am Pierre Wolfe, along with Gene Wolfe, wishing you happy holidays.
Thank you so much.
to San Francisco.
Even in San Francisco, they're celebrating Easter today. Wishing you from all of us here at Biz Talk Radio, Happy Easter. Have a wonderful celebration with your family and friends, wherever you are around the world, listening to America's Dining and Travel Guide. My special guest today is a lady, I hope I pronounce her name correctly, Marilyn Hogan. Is that correct?
That's correct, Pierre. It's actually Marilyn Haugen, but you were very close.
Haugen is the German pronunciation.
That is correct. That is right.
A-U is always ow, ow, ow. Now, I must admit,
yes, it is.
I have done the show for 28 years, been on the air for 58 years, and I've never heard of a spiralizer. 150 best spiralizer recipes as presented in a beautiful book by Marilyn Haugen, along with Jennifer Williams, her co-author. Now, what is a spiralizer? Would you explain, please?
Well, I can understand where you may not have heard about it, because it's a relatively new gadget, but it has taken off like crazy. And basically, whatever version you get, what it is a tool, a kitchen gadget or an electronic small appliance that takes vegetables and fruits and cuts them into noodle shapes. So you can take a zucchini, for example, and run it through there, and it comes out looking like spaghetti noodles. Or you can use a rutabaga and cut it through, and it comes out in ribbons looking like your wide egg noodles. But it's become so popular because you can eliminate the wheat pastas. You can eliminate a lot of the carbohydrates in your diet. So people are just loving this gadget.
Where are these gadgets, the spiralizer, where is it available, Marilyn?
You can find them on Amazon. They're in many of the big box stores like a Bed Bath & Beyond or Target. And I do also see them in some of their smaller boutique stores like a Williams-Sonoma or Sur La Table, that they have their versions of it also.
Now tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get involved with writing a cookbook that's called 150 Best Spiralizer Recipes, Marilyn Hogan and Jennifer Williams? Go ahead, please.
Okay, Pierre. Actually, my background is in accounting and finance, believe it or not. I worked for a large Fortune 100 company running their accounting operations department. And when my daughter was born, I decided to spend time at home with her. When she was becoming college age, I thought, you know what, now that I'm going to pick a second career, I'm going to do something I really love, and that's playing with kitchen toys, obviously, but cooking, creating recipes. I also teach some cooking classes, but I just dove in, like I usually do, feet first, and I just jumped right in and said, I'm going to experiment with creating recipes. And I published my first book. It was self-published, and I was very lucky. It was very successful, and I did it with another author. Actually, I was working with Jennifer on that one, too. And we've since have been picked up by Robert Rose Publishing, and he has us doing several cookbooks for his line. So what started out as a small idea and thought it was going to be fun has turned into a big idea and even more fun now.
Let me ask you, have you traveled outside the United States?
Oh, yes, I have. I've traveled actually around the world. I've worked with a couple different companies that had me travel for work. So I've literally gone around the world doing that. And then I also do it for fun, too. So I do it usually, Germany is probably Germany and Austria are probably some of my favorite places to visit. But I do like most of Western Europe also.
Have you ever been to Berlin?
Yes, I've been to Berlin. Actually, about 2 years after the wall came down in Berlin. So it was we were still seeing some of the old city, you know, on the east side of the wall. But yes, I took the train to Berlin, train, and spent a few days there. It's a lovely city.
I had the unfortunate or fortunate obligation to stay in Berlin during 9/11. We could not leave for 1 week. Could you believe that? But I speak German. I speak German and French. I was interviewed daily by TV and radio stations, national as far as Germany is concerned. I became so well known because of my television appearances that when we finally took a bus tour and took a regular bus also, people would say, "There he is. That's the man." Can you believe that?
Isn't that great?
we went to the Brandenburg Gate, where they actually assembled 20,000 people to show their sympathy to the United States of 9/11. But we'll talk about more happy events than that. But anyway, you've been around the world. Doesn't travel actually add to your life enjoyment, Marilyn?
Travel definitely does. It adds to, I'm always excited about it. There's opportunities to meet new people, look at different cultures, try new foods, just learn about people. And I was fortunate when I actually worked for American Express for a while and for Cargill. I was fortunate enough to be in areas for more than just a few days. So we were able to learn more about the people and the culture, and also go to some cities and some places that aren't necessarily on the top of most tourist lists, but you get a better chance of seeing deep inside a country, which it always enriches you. It has some of my favorite stories that come out of that.
What country was that? I didn't understand that, Marilyn.
I spent a lot of time in Austria, Hungary, Germany, and in the old Czech Republic. And then I've also traveled to Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia.
You know, I have said to my audience, I've lived in the United States now a long time, practically all my adult life. But if I had to change and live somewhere else, it would be New Zealand. Wouldn't you agree with me on a wonderful country called New Zealand?
Oh, it's a beautiful country. Beautiful.
Not only that, the people are so super friendly. They are.
Yes, they are.
They're there for you at any time, and that's lacking in some of the countries I've traveled to. And my wife and I have been around the world 4 times. But back to a spiralizer. Do other countries also have that particular machine or gadget, whatever you call it?
Yes, they do. They do have it. In fact, my 150 Best Spiralizer Recipe book is being translated into French right now. So we will have a book out in French, because the French were very interested in doing that also.
Very good. Marilyn Haugen, we will be looking closer at the book called 150 Spiralizer Recipes today on the Easter holiday. We're nearing a break, and you, Marilyn, will stay with me. And then we'll go into the details of the book. And, you know, the book with different cookbooks on the market and so forth. How is that book different? And many other questions I'll have for you. All of you out there listening to America's Dining and Travel Guide with your host, Pierre Bull, on this Easter holiday, wishing you the very, very best. And thank you for being such a terrific audience. When we talk about cookbooks, sometimes we have books that are not everyday subject, such as Spiralizer. 150 best spiral Iowa recipes. Those are coming your way in just a few moments with the author Marilyn Haugen, only heard here on Biz Talk Radio each and every Sunday for 2 hours on America's Dining and Travel Guide. Stay with me. I'll be back with Marilyn in just a few moments.
But there is room for doubt.
Lady Luck, as produced by David, our producer at Biz Talk Radio Studio. My special guest this Easter holiday, none other than Marilyn Haugen. She has written the book, and I repeat, 150 Best Spiralizer Recipes. Now, what are these spiralizers most often used for, Marilyn?
Many of the people that first dive into spiralizers use them to make use them with zucchini or yellow squash to make zucchini noodles. So that's probably one of the common things when people just dive in to do it. Where the book, you know, my cookbook takes it to a different level and shows you how you can use many more vegetables and fruit and apply them or add them into your recipes in unique ways instead of just zucchini noodles with spaghetti sauce on top.
Is the book actually more for vegetarians and vegans that use a raw diet?
No, actually it is not. It's broken up into four sections where one of those sections we do have it set up for vegetarian and vegan. But the first section is for gluten-free recipes. Then we also have a section for paleo recipes, and finally a section for raw food recipes. So it is broken apart by the different diets, but yet someone who doesn't necessarily follow a paleo diet or doesn't have to eat gluten-free would still find recipes in here that they could make with meats, chicken, pork, lamb, whatever, and still incorporate it into their diet, but it makes it lighter instead of a heavy pasta or noodles.
You know, I'm thinking of making a steak tartare. Can you make that raw meat? Of course, I used to enjoy making it for my lunch sometime. Can you make a steak tartare with a spiralizer?
You could make a steak tartare with spiralizer, yes. Yes, in fact, we have, when I make steak tartare, I like it on like a little rye cracker or rye piece of bread. There's recipes in here where we have, take sweet potato noodles, and we can actually make little buns and crackers out of them using sweet potatoes instead of using a wheat product.
Now, let's go through the book because time all of a sudden slides away from us. The basics of spiralizings are, Marilyn?
The basics of spiralizing are to choose vegetables and fruits that are fairly sturdy, don't have a large pit in the center. For example, a peach would not work very well, where apples or pears work very well in doing this. Carrots work very well. Cucumbers work well, but softer vegetables and fruits are not ideal for spiralizing.
So, in
the front of this book, too, what I've gone through is I've broken it apart by the many fruits and vegetables you can use and tell you what's the best way to pick your produce, how to prep them for putting them in a spiralizer, what cuts are good for depending upon the type of vegetable or fruit you're using. So hopefully that's making it much more useful to people that want to first try spiralizing.
Now, if there are children around, is it dangerous for them to use a spiralizer?
It's not dangerous for them to use, but they should always be supervised when doing it because the blades are very sharp. In most cases, they're covered and protected, but just children, like in anything they're doing in the kitchen, should be supervised while they're doing it. But it is great for kids because kids get to play with it and want to eat more vegetables because they find out the cool little shapes it makes.
You know, as we're nearing the end of this particular program of America's Dining and Travel Guide, I want to wish you and your family, Marilyn, happy holiday, Easter holiday, if you are celebrating, if not, just a happy Sunday to you. Are there some tips that you would like to share as to why people should use a spiralizer? Would you do that?
Yes. The tips on why they should use it is to bring more healthier fruits and vegetables into your diet. For me, it's always hard to say, oh, okay, I need to eat 5 cups of broccoli today, where that just doesn't make it as interesting. Where this is an interesting way to add more fruits and vegetables into your daily intake. So that's probably one of the best reasons to do it.
How do fruits come out? What do they look like after they go through a spiralizer?
They come out looking like sometimes like coleslaw, that kind of a texture. Sometimes they come out looking like curly little spirals of noodles. So apples are particularly fun when doing that, when they curl up like that. So
any
in here
other...
you mentioned with the,
yeah, go ahead.
With the travel you mentioned, there's many recipes in here that have Turkish influence, Spanish influence, recipes from all around the world
that
can use with the spiralizer.
That's absolutely wonderful. Now we're nearing the top of the hour as far as our show is concerned. And I want to wish you and your family the very best. Any final comments from you, Marilyn Haugen?
Well, Pierre, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me on the show. And a happy Easter to you also.
What are you spiralizing for tonight's dinner at your home?
Actually, I have some fruit tarts that I'm making off on the side. I've got a pie that I've already done, which I didn't spiralize.
Wonderful.
But I have some spiralized apple fruit tarts.
The only thing wrong is I can't come to your home to taste it all. I wish you well. Have a wonderful Easter holiday. Whatever you're celebrating, may the dinner turn out to be wonderful. And don't spiralize any of the guests, will you please?
There we go.
I wish you well. Thank you for being my guest.
I wish
guest.
You well, too. Thank you. Thank you, Pierre.
And all of you out there, don't go away. Much more to come of America's Dining and Travel Guide each and every Sunday for 2 hours with your host.